Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, if you checked out the Bloomberg original series, The Future with Hannah Fry, you may have come across an episode that looked into how a scientific revolution has begun, one that may bring the fantasy of immortality a little closer to reality, at least by a few decades anyway. Researchers the world over are closing in on discoveries that may help humans live longer, perhaps well into their 100s. So we have lots of conversations and lots of questions about wellness and living longer and lifespans in general. In the meantime, investors, including Primetime Partners, are finding ways to bet on the world's aging population. So with us in our studio is Abby Miller-Levy. She's co-founder and managing partner of the early stage venture capital firm focused on the $1 trillion global aging sector. There's a lot going on. The firm is Primetime Partners, co-founded, by the way, with longtime venture capitalist Alan Patrickoff. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Come in a little bit so we can hear you, because we want to make sure it's
absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit about the aging space and how you guys think about it as investors, because there is a lot going on, but it could be, you know, housing for people aging, it could be healthcare. So how do you think about it?
Absolutely. There are so many parts of how we think about the longevity sector. And if you think about it this way, if you ask AARP, for example, they do surveys all the time of older adults, and they say, what do you care about? And they care about their health, they care about financial independence, and they care about having meaningful experiences. And so that means basically, in my mind, longevity means all of healthcare, all of retirement and wealth management, all of consumer and media, and as well as housing and real estate. And so it's quite a broad industry. As investors, we're focused on the early stage, and we, age tech, as it's now called, had about $2.3 trillion of investments, billion dollars of investments just in 21 and 22. It's really an emerging space. I liken it to where climate tech was 20 years ago. Everybody understood that climate change was, not everyone, there was a widespread, there was a lot of data that said climate change is happening and we need to address it as a society. This seismic shift in our age demographic, this is not new information. The fact that 25% of the U.S. population will be over the age of 65 by 2050, 30% in Japan, this is not new information. The question is, how do we adapt to it? The same way that the climate tech industry has had to adapt to this new reality. So that's how we really think about it. There's a lot of opportunity, but we have to, in some ways, prompt and nudge and push on the urgency of the topic.
Well, there are a lot of problems then to be solved, right? Because especially if people are retiring at 65, 70, and they've, on the financial side of it, they're ready for maybe another 20 years, possibly 30. But what the data is showing is that they could go for another 50 years, right?
So absolutely.
I guess there are problems that need to be solved in terms of how they finance it. The healthcare bill is going to be off the charts, right? And then for meaningful experiences, what are they going to do?
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the most pressing problems is that 50% of Americans don't have retirement savings.
That's what I think about. Like, how, if you're living longer, yay.
Yes.
If you don't have the money to support yourself, not so great.
Well, I think there's a few things. One is, you know, our individual choices. You know, average retirement age right now is 62. That hasn't changed much in the past few years. We are going to need to work longer.
Yeah, but that seems incredibly young.
Exactly. Then you have 40 more years of basically asset decumulation versus accumulation. And so that is a major choice we have to make. And also, given ageism in the workplace and things like that, we need to really work on workforce longevity, but also real changes in forcing retirement savings. And so really excited that the government...
How do we do that?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. The Secure Act 2.0 was the first time that by 2025, employers who offer 401ks are going to have auto-enrollment. In other words, instead of saying to someone at 20, hey, would you like to save now?
Just do it.
And there have been studies done by Bank of America that show basically that increases participation by 5x. And so oftentimes in my role as an investor in the space, friends and family always ask me, you know, Abby, what's the secret to longevity? As if I know some secret pill. And by the way, there's a huge biotech industry focus on this. Mm-hmm. I always say, and they're very it's not as sexy an answer, but I say, max out your 401k. That's the secret to longevity. Because if you don't have financial longevity, you will not have a lesser chance of having a decent health span. And we are starting to see that. People in their 20s and 30s right now are investing at higher rates in their 401ks than before. And in fact, one of our portfolio companies is called Penelope. What they do is they allow solopreneurs and micro business owners to offer 401ks at reasonable prices. Because as a small business owner or even a gig economy worker, you should be able to have your own 401k as a self-employed person. So we really see that as an opportunity in terms of retirement savings to think about that. The other interesting part of the industry is really going to be around asset decumulation. Most of our financial services sector is focused on accumulation. If you think about decumulation, this is everything from now that you have these 401ks, most people, they're sitting in, first of all, most people have an average of 7 retirement accounts, if you have retirement accounts, because every time you move employers or are out of work and do a Roth IRA or an IRA, then you have all these accounts, and they're these small sums of money sitting typically in passive investment accounts. So another business we really like is a business called Retirable that basically allows you to put them all together and then look at actually how do we invest or think about even drawing a paycheck from our retirement savings. So you're really thinking about it differently. And also, of course, home equity. You know, the majority of older adults, 87%, own their have home equity. And so how do you think about that as a bank account and really without the punitive products that may have existed or this, you know, sense of it as only emergency funding, how do you really think about it actively as funding?
You do say early stage that you guys go into. Where are you seeing the most kind of company creation? Is it in the financial products? Is it in how we live? Is it how we experience? Healthcare. Is it healthcare?
Yes, it's absolutely in healthcare.
Yeah.
So 2/3 of our investing is in healthcare. And healthcare, you know, is still the largest, you know, one of the largest contributors of our society. And older adults consume 2/3 of all healthcare spend. So there's really incentives on everybody's side. The government that pays for 65% of older Americans' healthcare, the health plans, insurers, and, you know, pharma, everybody is incented to figure out how we take better care of older adults.
So what do you invest in? I'm curious the kind of companies that are come up on your radar and you say, okay, this is something of interest.
Absolutely. You follow the money. And where the money is basically in figuring out how to reduce the cost of care and how to make care more accessible. If I had to bucket it into two buckets. Again, we don't do pharma or biotech, so that's something that's not in our purview.
Right.
But within our purview, it's reducing cost of care. So for example, anything that would prevent an older adult from hospitalization. A hospitalization can cost a health plan anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000. So reducing hospitalizations might be nutrition, might be medication adherence, might be fall prevention, might be even things such as updating your home to make sure that there's safety within the home. So we've invested in several solutions that sell into health plans to say, hey, let's prevent these hospitalizations that have clinical results and data to show we can prevent hospitalizations. So that's one example. On the accessibility front, I mean, I'm sure most of the listeners here recognize that COVID changed everything in terms of telemedicine.
Right.
Telemedicine was very infrequently a reimbursable experience before COVID, but it was basically built into our healthcare system now as a way to deliver care. So we've invested in many businesses that frankly make telemedicine more accessible from an infrastructure layer, a company called OpenLoop. And then about 1/3 of our investments use telemedicine as a delivery and accessibility mechanism. And we're looking at other businesses, you know, and I know everyone's very focused on AI.
Yes.
You know, within healthcare, what's really interesting is you think about the word care. Healthcare, particularly for older adults, has always been a service business. There's a human involved.
Mm-hmm.
And where does AI do a wonderful job? It does a wonderful job of making human interactions faster, easier, more personalized.
We talk about this. I don't know if this is where you're going, and forgive me if I'm like off in a crazy way, but just this whole idea of older people who are lonely.
Yes.
And this idea of creating a robot or something that can, I know, Matt, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I've seen it firsthand and it's devastating. And whether there can be an interactions. I know you're thinking,
I don't think that's crazy. I did a story on that like 20 years ago.
I know.
My thing is, what? I wonder how high valuations are right now, because I'm sure a lot of people want to get into this space. It's an incredible demographic, right?
Sure.
Well, I just got about 20 seconds,
yes,
unfortunately.
So robots, we're less excited about. We're excited about technology enabling meetups, live, experiences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really human to human. But on valuations, just like everybody else, valuations have come down back to, I'd say, 2019 levels on many companies. But because we invest early stage has largely been protected from the valuation perspective. I think the one thing that has changed is people are focused on profitability and making their money last.
We have to run. Come back soon.
We'll do.
All right. Abby Miller-Levy, she's co-founder and managing partner at Primetime Partners here in studio.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.